Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Live, welcome to the live Saturday edition of the show. The number, if you want to join us here, it's 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we got the bank downgrades on the way, which could be very, very good news for those of us that want to see the end to the central banking monopoly oligopoly system. With you here in the studio tonight, though, it's Ian.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
And I know, Peakless, you wanted to weigh in on Javier Milei, the Argentinian guy who is possibly on his way to the presidency there.
Does he claim to be libertarian or anarcho-capitalist?
So I believe anarcho-capitalist, although he is a member of the Libertarian Party, or whatever they call it down there.
I've seen both. I've seen libertarians sort of like, hey, look, it's a libertarian guy. And I've seen like people go, this guy's an anarcho-capitalist. And I wasn't sure what he officially
claimed. Wall Street is a right-wing extremist.
Well, that's what most of the mainstream media is saying about him. But the Wall Street Journal did at least say that he was a self-described anarcho-capitalist.
Okay.
So he seems to be fairly hardcore as far as libertarian beliefs are concerned. We can weigh in on that here in a moment, but first let's go to the phones where we have Dave Ridley on the line from RidleyReport.com. Go ahead,
Ridley.
Dave.
Hey, well, I wanted to bounce an idea off of you guys. It's kind of speculative, but eventually this is something that probably will happen to us. By us, I mean the New Hampshire independence movement.
Okay, what about it?
So I was reading up the Wikipedia article on Daniel Miller from Texit, which is probably the strongest independence movement in the United States
right now,
trying to get Texas loose from the Union. And the Wikipedia claimed that Texit, you know, one or more Texit people had visited Russia.
Okay.
And there was also, you know, some connection with Russia with CalExit, because one of the CalExit guys moved to Russia.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, so let's imagine, what do we do if somebody from the Russian government contacts us, right? That's the appropriate way to handle that.
Well, obviously, somebody from NHExit needs to move to Russia just to keep everything sort of the status quo.
Just to keep up with the Joneses.
Well, what are they contacting us for? Like, what is goal of them contacting us?
Well, they contacted the Texas people and the California people, I'm assuming, because they love the idea of not having a united federal government to oppose them, right? So, you know, it's in their selfish interests. The Beijing government will probably do the same thing, start trying to do the same thing inside the United States at some point. And that's a sticky situation because I don't like those governments either. So I think an appropriate way to handle something like that, again, this is not that hypothetical because it's already happened to Texas. So I think the appropriate way to handle something like that is to refuse to go. Like if you were invited to some kind of meeting in Russia or something like that, or refuse to meet with any of these people, unless they provide some kind of concession, like releasing a political prisoner or something along those lines. This worked out really well for Jesse Jackson in the 80s and in 1999 during the Kosovo War. So he was able to, he popped over to Lebanon and got a U.S. pilot released after the pilot had bombed Beirut.
I like your idea. I hadn't thought of that myself, and I really like the, hey, try and get something out of it.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
The other thought that I had was, if they came to Free Talk Live, they'd be like, hey, Captain, do you want to, go to Russia, have a meeting with the Russians or something? I'd be like, sure, as long as I can broadcast it all on the internet, uncensored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this has sort of come up in the past. Previously, when we had discussed, like, Adam Kokesh, who at one time was on the Russia Today channel and
sure,
was a host.
Had his own show,
on there for I don't know more than a year. I thought
yeah,
it feels like
2 years,
a couple years. And you know, the question came up if the Russians wanted to sponsor the show or whatever, because Russia today, by the way, does have a radio division called Sputnik, Sputnik News, and they actually, last time I checked, had maybe like four or five radio stations in the United States that they are leasing. They don't own the stations, but they're able to, they're like, you know, little AM stations that no one cares about, that the owner doesn't care about, and
right.
he's willing to lease it to the highest bidder, and so the Russians come in and they pay whatever it is that the owner wants them to pay, and they get 24/7 programming ability on these stations. And, you know, I have approached that organization in the past to see if they would be willing to carry Free Talk Live. I don't care. I'm happy to be on their air.
As many as we can be on, yeah.
It wouldn't bother me. But then the question became, well, what if they wanted to sponsor the show? Would you take what is ultimately blood money, right? Like if it's coming from a government,
right?
Even if it is for the purposes of spreading our message, is it wrong to accept the money from these people? Is the enemy of the enemy our enemy,
yeah,
our friend,
yeah, right.
In this case?
Yeah.
What do you think, Ridley?
Not sure. I haven't given that one as much thought.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think there's also this Swiss concept, though, that you do business with everybody. It's kind of a dying concept even in Switzerland now. But I really, you know, like I used to, I had a trading partner of sorts who worked for Manchester City Hall, right? He worked as a guard there. And we'd buy him, you know, I'd buy stuff from him. He had made these really cool little disaster kits and stuff like that. And I didn't have first qualm about paying him something for a service, right? That had nothing to do with his city work. But like, would I want a city to pay me? I think I'd be pretty uncomfortable with that, or foreign government the same way.
Yeah, it would be a really tough thing, because I know that if the U.S. military came here and wanted to advertise with us, I would tell them no. Like, I wouldn't even have to think about it.
Right.
On the other hand, if the Russian government said, we like your message of, you know, undermining the status quo and we want to help facilitate that, you know, there isn't really much of a difference between accepting their airtime, which they are paying for. They wouldn't be paying us for it. Like, if we got on the Sputnik stations,
sure,
it would be a standard, it would be a standard arrangement that we have with any radio station where we don't charge them, they don't charge us.
Right.
We have what they call a barter.
The syndication.
Yeah. And so, like, I wouldn't have any qualms with that, because it would obviously benefit us. We would get more listeners to the show. And them paying us would be a step beyond that, to, like, give us our own television program or something like that,
right?
And you know, I will say this about Adam Kokesh. When he was on, we did ask him when we interviewed him, and we were talking about being on Russia Today, whether or not they gave him any kind of editorial control. Were there any restrictions on the topics or the guests or whatever that he could discuss or have on? And he said no. He said they did not give him any instruction on things he couldn't say. He had total editorial freedom. He could criticize Russia if that was something that he wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so to that end, I thought, well, that's pretty good. Like, that's a good platform to be on then, because most corporate radio or corporate television isn't going to let you do that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It is a tough question. Anyway, Ridley, anything else?
Chris Hedges has a show on RT, I think, still, and he's
still
a pretty reliable source of...
I'm not familiar with the name. If it was RT America, that shut down at the beginning of the Ukraine conflict, unless he's actually in Moscow or at one of their other outside the U.S. facilities, because as I understand it, RT America is completely shuttered.
Yeah, I could be wrong about that.
Okay, you might want to check
in
on that.
Yeah, he's a very useful source of information and ideas. He's a U.S. leftist, but he's brilliant.
All right, very good. Anything else you want to share tonight, Ridley?
No, just a thought.
All right, man, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I mean, first of all, the Russian government isn't knocking on our door. I'd just like to be clear. I could never get
knock. Who is it?
Yeah,
it's the Russians.
I could never get the program director of Sputnik on the phone with me in any, you know, manner at all.
Yeah.
So I had met, like, one of their producers at the talk show conference that you went to a couple years ago, Captain, last year, Talkers Magazine. And, you know, we seemed to get along well, and I said, well, you know, how do I get in touch with the program director there? And she gave me some suggestions and never panned out into anything at all.
Yeah.
So so it's not like they're, you know, banging on our door trying to get Free Talk Live even on the air, let alone hand us oodles and oodles of cash.
And I suspect the reason that, you know, if they're even aware of what we do here at Free Talk Live, if they are aware, I suspect the reason that they haven't reached out is because our message would also undermine them as a state, as an organization.
That's
of
true.
Violence,
right? We are against all states.
Yeah, so we're equal opportunity haters when it comes to that.
But is the enemy of your enemy your friend?
Yes and no, right? I mean, yes, in that it might behoove you to figure out ways to employ them in spreading your message. But if the opposite is true, they're trying to employ you to spread their message, then not
That's
so
not
much.
Okay, yeah.
Right? I like to think that the enemy of my enemy is my useful idiot.
Okay, that's one way to look at it.
I mean,
sure.
So, like right now, for example, there's a big fight between the Federal Reserve and the World Economic Forum on who's going to run the world's central bank digital currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want both of them to lose.
And take damage on both sides heavily.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and I love the fact that they're fighting. I wouldn't call either of them an ally, but I'm glad that they're trying to destroy each other, and the more effective they are at that, the less I have to do whenever one of them is finished.
Yeah, nothing makes me smile, you know, more than finding, like, one government agency, you know, harming another government agency in some way. Right, not necessarily personally, but like when two government entities fight each other, I'm like, hey, all right,
well,
this is cool.
That's fewer resources that they have to turn on innocent people if they're fighting one another. You want to comment, you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. We were going to get into, well, since we're talking about Russia and stuff, let's go and continue with international discussions with Javier Milei, which is something we talked about in some detail earlier this week. I think it was the Wednesday night show with the ladies and I on the program. We shared the AP story, which went into some detail on kind of how the primary works in Argentina. It wasn't entirely clear, but it seems like
it is really confusing.
Well, you know, we don't live there, right? It's probably really simple if you live there, but we're from the outside trying to figure it out.
I mean, like, our political system isn't really simple.
Yeah.
I live here.
Well, one of the things, it seems a lot better set up for a third party to come in and actually matter.
And that's what happened, where this guy who looks like kind of like Doctor Who, a little bit one of the Doctor Who's.
Which one?
From back in the day. Tom guy?
Tom Baker?
Tom
really?
Baker, I think.
I mean,
like,
I've
wild
seen
hair.
This guy. I'm like, he
not
does
as
have
curly.
Wild hair.
It's not curly hair.
He needs
a
wild, a big old
wig.
Scarf and a trench coat.
I think he could do it, though. If he had the scarf and the trench coat, I think he could pull it off for Halloween.
I just think he has amazing sideburns, and I want more politicians
with
and more famous people of all stripes to start wearing their sideburns proudly.
That's just because you're on Beard Talk Live.
It's not just because.
Sideburns
it's primarily
are,
because.
Okay,
not
sideburns
quite a
are,
beard, though, right?
Okay,
I would,
like,
say that, I would say that sideburns count as part of a beard.
They do, a part.
They're not the standard
of.
beard, right. But they're certainly not a beard.
Yeah. Like, you could have a mustache and sideburns and no beard.
Right?
It would look a little weird. You could, though.
Or you could just, you know, have a full beard, including you could have a
so
beard.
So what if you had like a full beard, no mustache, but
and
you
no
took
sideburns.
A shave straight down the center, like just a tiny little strip? Would that then convert your beard into sideburns?
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that is an interesting question. These are the things that you guys can hash out tonight at Beard Talk Live at 10:30 Eastern Time on our video streaming platforms, which include Odyssey, which you can find over at watch.freetalklive.com. So make sure you mark your calendar for that. Yeah, that's right. No FCC, none of that nonsense there. So anyway, Javier Milei, he's already essentially the equivalent of a representative, a right. national representative there. They call it something else. I don't know if the assembly or whatever. I don't have the details in front of me. But so he's kind of like the Ron Paul of Argentina.
I saw a video of him speaking, and it was, you know, subtitled in English.
Yeah, I have not yet seen him speaking English. Maybe he does, but I haven't seen any of that.
The only video that I've watched is just this one video of mm-hmm. him, and so I'm assuming the translation was accurate.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay, this guy's saying the right things. Now,
what was he saying?
I don't remember the specifics, but
the one, he likes to attack the leftists a lot.
He was calling out
interviews.
The left specifically, but then he was also talking about how the free market will lift everybody out of poverty and things of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
And
they had a lot of that.
And that it
there.
Already has. It's just that they need to adopt it as policy, if you will.
Right. He wants to abolish the central bank
right.
in Argentina.
That was the other part, was the bank abolition stuff was just, I was like, yep, okay. Now, that being said, I hear U.S. politicians say these kinds of things,
No, they don't. Which U.S. politicians?
I've never heard U.S.
Well,
politicians
calling for the abolishment of the central bank.
Not necessarily the abolishment of the bank. No,
okay.
No, but like,
not even Ron Paul really went that far, right? Ron Paul was willing to audit
the Fed.
Right?
Well, I mean, end the Fed.
Did he say end
the
Fed?
Rallying cry.
Okay, I thought it was audit the Fed. I'm sorry.
That was secondarily. Like, at first it was end the Fed, and then
he wrote a book.
It was audit the Fed.
He did write a book called End the Fed.
Right.
So, I'll give him credit for that.
But here's my position is this. Politicians say a whole lot of things.
Sure they do. Yep. You can't trust them.
Right? And so, I have to take what this guy says in this video that I watched of him, calling out the banks and, you know, calling out, you know, the free markets and, you know, not calling out, but like, you know, rallying for free markets and, ending taxation or at least lowering it and that kind of stuff. Like, politicians say a lot of things. And if I don't even believe U.S. politicians when they sort of start saying these kinds of things, why on earth should I believe a guy in some other country saying these kinds of things?
Presumably, I think the answer to that would be, and I have not done the research on this. I don't know where I would start to do the research on this. But presumably, since he has been, I believe since 2021, in the actual Hall of Representatives or Assemblymen or whatever.
Chamber of Deputies.
Is that what it's called?
Yep.
He's been a deputy. So presumably, like Ron Paul, he should have a voting record. So at the very least, you should be able to look and see, okay, did he actually vote for smaller government? Did he vote to abolish X, Y, or Z?
Right.
What kind of bills did he put forward, if that is indeed something he has the ability to do? That is different from your typical politician who has no track record that is just trying to get put into office. At least you could say, yeah, this guy does what he says he's going to do, or at least so far has done what
right.
he says
and,
he's going
and
to
like,
do.
And like, we had Aaron Day on this show.
The presidential candidate from the Republican side, who's actually a pro-liberty individual and a free stater.
Yes. He has something, I think, pinned to his Twitter that was called the Bank Run Manifesto, something along those lines.
Mm.
And so compared to every other presidential candidate,
right,
I'm way more on board with the stuff he says.
I'm loving some of the stuff he says. He's been saying recently, this is the least important election of your lifetime. I keep saying that. It's so funny.
Nice.
Because, you know, they always say it's the most important every 2 years.
Every,
it's the most important election.
To be fair, they keep getting more and more power, so it kind of technically is.
Well, and he also says he doesn't care if you vote for him. What he wants you to do is do this run on the banks thing, is pull your, you know, at least some of, if not all of your money out of the banking system. He's shooting to get 3% of Americans to participate in this, because you don't have to have all of them to crash the system.
Right.
A small minority could be enough.
So he, in and of himself, recently posted a video by Joshua Smith, who apparently has announced himself for a candidate as president.
As a libertarian.
As a libertarian candidate.
Yeah.
And we can't play the video audio here online because he, you know, violates the FCC in his video. But, like, here's another political candidate saying a bunch of things that sound good to me as an anarchist, a voluntarist, and then also saying, hey, if you don't vote for me, check out this other guy, which politicians don't normally do. So he's breaking convention regarding politicians, but it's still like you're still a politician. You know, like, yeah, at the end of the day, you're saying a bunch of stuff to cater to your listeners, your audience, if you will, your voting demographic.
You guys have a podcast.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so within that, he's kind of doing the same thing that other politicians do, is just pandering to your audience.
Well, I mean, the Libertarian Party's got to have a candidate, and I don't know if he's going to be the best one that is in the race. He's certainly got the guy who did Jeremy Kaufman's video.
Yeah.
The video worked for Jeremy Kaufman. For listeners that may not recall, he ran as a Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate here
Kaufman's
in New Hampshire.
Kaufman's videos were outstanding.
And his videos were really remarkable. They
and
were really
hilarious.
Funny. They had a good sense of humor, well-edited, really pro-level video work. That same guy's name's Dan Smotz. He was hired by Josh Smith to do his video work, it seems like, as I understand it. So he's going to bring that same level of quality to the table. But ultimately, he still has to go to the Libertarian National Convention next, I think, May.
Yeah.
And then compete against God knows how many other Libertarians.
And it would be really nice if the LP National Party would, you know, for once put forth libertarian, like a principled person. Yeah. Like, this is the problem with politics, though, is that no matter how hard you try to join it from the inside and make a change, it's nearly impossible because the system itself is based on corruption.
Yeah.
And this is true for the organization type known as government around the world.
It's really disgusting to be involved in politics a lot of the time. I mean, right now, I'm particularly turned off by the fact that there's so many supposed liberty reps, as they're called here in New Hampshire. These are people who, many of them score in the A range. Like, they get an A on the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance yearly scorecard.
Mm-hmm.
They get a grade from them based on how they vote on issues. They will score as A-rated reps. And yet, some of these people are supporting Ron DeSantis for president. And it's like, it doesn't make sense to me. You cannot, how you can on one hand purportedly believe in individual liberty and personal freedom, be a Free State Project participant, have moved here, migrated here as part of a libertarian migration, and yet back a psychopath who is talking about shooting people to death on the border who try to cross if they're quote-unquote cartel members, how you would know one immigrant from a cartel member, I don't know.
These people are making this decision based purely on the symbolism. I mean, it's not a matter of what he's going to do, what his policies are, anything like that, or even where he's been, what he's done. It's he is a symbol of not locking down. Now, as we've covered on this show, that even that's not really true, but...
Sure, he was pimping the vaccines.
Right, well, but the fact remains that he is a symbol of not kowtowing to the global elite domination of the world and, you know, of fighting back.
It's a false symbol.
Oh, I'm aware.
It's totally false.
I am aware.
Let our listeners know.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln is a symbol of the end of slavery.
I mean, it is.
And that's a false symbol, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of people really love Abraham Lincoln because of his symbolism. And that's really, it's symbol-minded thinking.
Well, then that's pathetic, right? Like, these are people who should know better. These are people who should know better than to trust a national politician like this. So there's all kinds of disappointments in the realm of politics, especially from people that purportedly would know better.
The number here, led by people who win a popularity contest.
Yeah,
that's all I say.
The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show. You can bring up anything you want. We got more. I think you probably have more to say on this.
Mm-hmm.
Javier Milei in Argentina.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We'll be right back. USA News update. Leaders from Los Angeles and San Diego are assuring residents their cities are prepared for Hurricane Hillary.
The city is prepared. We're not waiting for the storm to hit. We have already begun working 24/7 to be ahead of the curve and to be ready as soon as the storm reaches our shores.
Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, Hillary is expected to make landfall as a tropical storm in Mexico or the U.S. Sunday night or early Monday morning. Hawaiian officials say the death toll from the Lahaina wildfires now up to 114. Hawaii Governor Josh Green called those deaths unspeakable and devastating. Americans are projected to deplete their pandemic savings this quarter, as indicated by a study by the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco. Household surplus savings, which reached over $2 trillion in August 2021 due to increased saving during the COVID-19 pandemic, have now dwindled to under $190 billion. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show and join us here. 603-283-6160. We're talking about Javier Milei, the surprise winner of apparently what is called the primary election in Argentina. So it's not over yet. He still has another actual, like, general election to get through in order to become the president of Argentina.
Right. So is this like the sports playoffs where you start with a bunch of people and it sort of narrows down the candidates until you get down to like two, mm-hmm. like it does here?
It's
three in this case, but yeah.
Okay. As I understand it, what's going to happen in a couple of months, first of all, he got 30% of the vote in this primary, and that it was a little bit more than the other guys got in the big major parties. This Javier Milei is a libertarian, so the idea that a libertarian could get more than, I don't know, 3%? Is pretty shocking.
No.
He got almost a third of the primary vote. And what's going to happen in the next 2 months, as I understand from what I've read, if you're living in Argentina and you can clarify this, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. Please. Or call us on our SIP line, sip.freetalklive.com. Stands for super important person. You go there and you can, it will make it easy to call from Argentina. You don't have to deal with long distance or anything like that. Sip.freetalklive.com. The step-by-step instructions are there. But apparently what's going to happen in a couple months is the general election will occur. And if you don't win by, I believe, I think you have to win by at least 40%, although I've heard 50% reported as well. So okay. A fairly high margin in a, what is it, going to be a three-way race. If you do not reach that particular level, if no candidate reaches that level, they will eliminate the last candidate, and then it will be a runoff in another couple weeks or a few weeks after that between the top two candidates.
Okay.
So that's how that's going to play out.
I will say the one video of him that I watched, and it appeared to be like a television interview, probably, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. It was probably edited from the original content or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I saw, the dude is a very passionate speaker.
Yeah.
Like, he emotes everything. Like, he feel like you get the feeling that he's feeling the pain when he speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this acting? I don't know, because that's what actors do, right?
Yeah. He is apparently an economist.
Yeah, so you were asking, like, why should I trust him? And, okay, fair question, but up until 6 years ago, he was just a macroeconomics teacher in, and mind you, an anti-Keynesian, anti-Marxist economics teacher in Argentina.
So he was already on board with the Austrian economics?
Yeah. Yeah, dude's already been on board with the Austrian economics for a really long time. Then, like, 6 years ago, he gets into politics at all. Like, their Libertarian Party is only 5 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, it has existed for 5 years almost now, and suddenly he's, you know, the number one candidate that people are voting for the nomination.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get the skepticism, but my expectations is assassination by the CIA. That's really what I think is going to end up here, and then you'll know that I was right.
That right. Or he wins, right? I mean, he could lose and nothing could happen, I suppose. But I would hope that this type of a message, maybe it's a sign, I don't know, that like this message, the message of freedom, the message of actual economics, you know, where 2 + 2 = 4, and, oh, supply and demand is really supply and demand, not this voodoo that we have with the statist government, the Keynesian philosophies, right? Maybe it's just you can't stop an idea whose time has come. Maybe it is time.
And that time is definitely closer in Argentina because of the economic circumstances the people of Argentina are in now, with over 100% inflation on a yearly basis. So, you know,
Yeah. I read that somewhere and I'd forgotten about it, but oh my God.
Yeah, it's like 128%.
So basically 10% a month prices are going up in Argentina. In fact, the news story we read about his win over the weekend, this was last weekend when he won the primary, was that the Argentinian central bank devalued the currency another 20% apparently in response to him winning. It's like they pulled the print button again, or they pulled the print lever.
Wait, he won the oh, we better print more.
Right. Maybe they feel like their time's running out and they're like, all right, we got to take this thing for all it's worth.
Look, my interpretation of that is they went, oh, he's going to end the central bank. So that means this currency isn't even going to be around anymore.
But wait a minute.
So I'm going to get out of this currency while the getting's good.
You sound like you've done some research into this, so I'll ask you a question I had earlier this week. Can he just end the central bank, or wouldn't he need, presumably, the legislature's support on this?
I don't know that much, actually.
Yeah.
And that does seem to be one of the questions about this is like, okay, he's a third party candidate. He does not have the support of either of the parties.
Right.
Neither the left nor the right. So
they all want to have their central bank on their side. Right.
Right? So how much can he get done? But
that's
I don't know.
The big question.
I would love to find out.
I mean, the reason that somebody like me would support anybody running for any office at all.
And you don't vote, so like to get you to support anybody.
But you know that I have, and I do. Like I will support them in ways other than voting for them.
Okay.
Right? You know, like, hey, I support your message, or I'll repost your content, or I'll like your stuff, or whatever. It's because of the messaging, right?
Right.
To me, this
like Aaron Day.
Right. This is an opportunity, and even you, and like nobody, and like when you guys have run for stuff, like I've never been like, you guys are dumb. You should
No, that's true.
No, I support you guys because it's important to get the message out there, and the people. People we need to reach the most are the people who are voting, right? So, like, there is reason to support these people and what they're doing. if for no other reason than to help spread the message of freedom and liberty and stable economics and real value and real currency and all that kind of stuff, all the stuff we need for everybody to be more free.
Totally agreed. So another question in relation to this is Javier Milei, obviously he's the face of the Libertarian Party in Argentina right now. He's getting a lot of attention. In fact, we learned that he turned his website off to anyone that's outside of the region. If you're in Europe or you're in the United States,
too much?
I suspect so, because he's getting a ton of international press. So anyway,
you can VPN around that.
Well, unless you could VPN into Argentina, I don't think you'd be able to get to his website.
Okay.
So at least that was the case a few days ago. But my question is also, is there like going to be a full slate of other libertarian candidates who can sort of ride his coattails, potentially also sweeping them into office, whether or not they're principled or not, I don't know. But yeah. Are there dozens of them? Are there three of them? What's that look like? Again, if you're down in Argentina and you have any idea, give us a call tonight.
And perhaps, you know, we saw Ron Paul. When did he campaign last?
2012.
12? Okay. So 2012. So perhaps it could be seen as sort of a second man, you know, in any social movement, the second man always the most important, right? Because like one guy stands up and says, "Hey, this is wrong.
We shouldn't do this anymore."
And everybody, he takes all the arrows and all the criticism and all the flack and all that kind of stuff. And it's not until the second man stands up that other people go, "Hey, you know what? Both these guys are right." And then the third man, and then the fourth, and then all of a sudden the social movement goes and the change is made within society, not necessarily politically, but like societal change. That's how it happens. And so perhaps this is the second man. If Ron Paul is the first man, perhaps this is the second man.
Well, and another side of the second man possibility that I see for this, so if he ends up as the president of Argentina, then he will be the second head of state of a country to be in favor of cryptocurrency.
Right.
Yep. And I think that is a tremendous shift possible. And as we've pointed out, you know, that second man really is the trigger point for anyone else who's like, maybe I'd like to do that. But until that second one does, no one's going to.
Right.
So as soon as, if he does manage to win this, then anyone who's waiting in the wings politically in any country in the world will suddenly go, maybe I really ought to start doing this and start moving my country away from being dominated by the central currencies of giant countries.
And I know that many people will vote based on, you know, sort of non-logical reasons. Oh, I just like that guy, the way he speaks, or, he doesn't look like the other politicians, or that kind of thing. Taking a look at this guy, what's his name?
Javier Milei.
Taking a look at this guy, well, he's not an old white guy. He's a white guy, but he's not gray. He at least
he's white as
hair.
A Hispanic white guy.
Is he Hispanic?
Right? I mean, he must be, right?
He struck me as Caucasian when I watched him. But at any rate, he's not.
Well, a lot of Hispanics are white.
He's not, a geriatric gray hair.
No, he's like 53 or something.
Right. And so one of the things that I would love to see, especially because, the boomers are dying now, right, is a youth movement in all of politics, right, towards freedom. Because these old people aren't going to learn new tricks. They're not going to.
They're going to die that way.
They barely understand how to operate a frickin' email, right? Much less an app on a cell phone or whatever. All the new stuff that's so common to anybody under 50, for example, right? So, to me, that's all positive, and I would like to see more of that too. Because there is this sort of old guard that still exists that hasn't been replaced. The youth, and by youth, I'm like talking like 50s. That would be a youth movement for politics across the world, right? But like if we can get people like 50 and younger in these positions of power, I think that's going to speed up the process to liberty, the path to freedom.
Well, and there was a time when Ron Paul was in his 40s and his 50s, and he was involved. You've seen, I'm sure, some of the videos from the 1980s.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Paul on, like, the Morton Downey Jr. show and, like, going at people and having a real principled view on things. But he didn't have the same impact in the 1980s as this guy is right now in Argentina. Even in 2008 and 2012, when Ron Paul was put on the debate stage, we thought he did awesome, and he got a lot of good positive response from the audience in the room, but it didn't translate into anything close to a win in those primary elections, because Fact is, the American people are comfortable. I mean, they are in the wealthiest society on the planet. Indeed, but for now, you know, they're well fed. It's getting harder to get the food, right? Like we were just talking last night when you and I were hanging out, Captain, about people getting a second and third job in some cases. Yep. There's a really interesting video from Professor St. Ange about Canada and how much worse it is, even just across the Canadian border for people there. Like they are kind of a harbinger of things to come for the United States, where people are, it's really tough to make ends meet now. And so, you know, that's still what we have now is we don't have hunger really in America at this point. But in Argentina and Venezuela, places down in South America, you are seeing that happening from these disastrous economic policies. And so the people there are looking for an answer. And this guy is coming out and saying and pointing the finger at the problem, which is, of course, I think he uses terms like thugs or liars and like literally.
He does. He calls this
all
what
these
it
things.
Is.
He goons, calls tyrants, parasites.
Yeah. He calls the printed money the worst garbage on the face of the earth, which it is.
And people know that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where you ask me, can he actually end the central bank? Now, even if, you know, by their rules, he personally can't, the fact is, if he ends up as president, all of the people who are like, yeah, we need to end this now, will be able to put pressure on their congressmen or, you know, whatever the...
Sure.
On their deputies, as it were. They'll be able to put pressure on them to end this thing. And then if they don't listen, they will get ousted.
Yep, they will see that that is a potential future for them, is to lose their next election, even if there's not a libertarian running against them this time around. They may be able to field one of them in 2 or 4 years or whatever the period of time is down there, and then they would know that they should either, you know, get into shape on this particular issue or they're going to be removed. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, and I think it's absolutely crucial to the point that this is part of a much larger movement from the old guard to the new guard.
What enthuses me is the ideas of liberty are not confined to the United States, much less New Hampshire.
Right.
That these are ideas that are spreading throughout the globe. There are libertarians. We had a gentleman here in the studio from Germany.
Yep.
And he gave us, I took him home and I looked at him later, and there are all these like German stickers that are like the same kind of stuff we have.
And
the Fed and, you know, screw the banks and, you know, whatever, this kind of
market
thing.
Anarchy stuff.
Yeah, but it's the German version of this stuff. And I was just so... I just took a moment and enjoyed that because I realized that this is an international, this is a global thing, right? This change, this gear towards more freedom, more liberty, the end of statism as the de facto way to organize people is growing in popularity across the globe. And it's not going to, no one is going to be able to stop the idea.
No.
It's just unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what V for Vendetta said, right? Which, by the way, I heard they're going to remake that.
Why?
Why do you need to
make it less incendiary, of course.
We'll see.
We can't have people rising up against that government.
Know, Hugo Weaving knocked it out of the park, man.
Yeah, it was a good film. If you haven't seen that one, check it out.
Maybe they want to make it look less like reality. Because if you remember, there was like this massive staged outbreak of a disease, and that's why we need tyrannical government.
Yeah, it totally was predictive in that particular way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So what else have you learned about Javier Milei, Pico Sinatmir, that you wanted to share with us here tonight?
I suppose we've really covered most of it, honestly.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, we have someone who, like, everything that I've ever heard out of this guy is something that I would expect from one of us to say.
Mm.
Like, well-established knowledge that actually conforms with reality and predictive models of what happens when you do X to an economy. Calling things as they are.
He calls inflation the inflation tax.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the inflation tax.
Yeah.
I mean, that mere concept alone, if widely enough distributed,
that
might be enough to bring down the majority of the corruption and tyranny on Earth today.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah, I got to give him a lot of credit for his communication method of getting it. And obviously it works, right? To come into a primary and snatch 30% of the vote,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously going to get him even more press coverage. It is, by the way. There's a lot mm-hmm. more coverage, not just, I'm sure, outside of, as we've seen a lot outside of Argentina, but within Argentina as well. This guy came from behind and was a surprise win. Of course, all the polls, by the way, showed him losing the primary or, you know, being the last place.
Mm-hmm.
And he instead was first place, defeating the major parties. And so I think somebody else pointed out that what could very well happen at the general election is no one gets to 50% or 40% or whatever yeah. the minimum is. And so then they knock out the third person, and then it goes off to the runoff between the top two. The question is then, and they predicted that the Liberal Party would get knocked out because they lost the primary. They were the least vote getters. Mm-hmm. So they might get knocked out. And then it becomes like, you know, what do, or maybe was it the Liberals? I forget which one it was. But anyway, what does the other side do? Does the side that got knocked out of the primary decide to go with the Libertarian guy, or do they stick, or they hold their nose, presumably, and go with the people that they hate the most? Right,
right? Yeah, like, the opposing party, the other.
Yeah, so
other side.
I mean, by no means has this guy got it in the bag with 30%. It's yeah. not going to be enough. So there's a lot that's going to have to go down here in the next 2 months to really
get
him to win.
I expect him to not win.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Not because I don't believe in the ideas of freedom, but because I've seen what statism does and how it operates, right?
Yeah, and how the CIA operates.
If you think that he's not going to get assassinated, or if there's not going to be some sort of, a voting error mm-hmm. or something that goes on, you know, some sort of tomfoolery, I've seen all of these things, and I expect them to be deployed to prevent him from winning, because that's the last thing statists want, is somebody who wants to get rid of the organization known as government.
Yeah, well, I expect them to be deployed. I don't know if they'll succeed.
And I did see him, another comment I saw from him this week, in order asking to describe himself.
Yes.
He said he's an anarcho-capitalist in the long view and a minarchist in the short view, mm-hmm. basically. Because
right.
he understands that you can't just delete the state overnight. You have to...
Sure.
You know, cut it down to size.
Yeah, it's like everyone that I talk to, oh my gosh, but if you end the state, like, this will happen. And it's like, well, that's only if you end the state, like,
yeah.
tomorrow. It's not a switch. You don't just turn it off. There has to be a dismantling process. But all that being said, even if this guy loses,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about him.
Yeah.
Right? Argentina's
right.
talking about him. You know, all of Europe's talking about him.
They've had to restrict access to their website because
right.
of how many people
yeah.
are talking
so,
about this guy.
You know, he was, in my opinion, that's a win for freedom. That's
yeah,
a win for liberty.
I
right.
agree.
Right. I mean, national politics in this country, especially, as I've always said, we use that as a bully pulpit. Like, that is a way to amplify our message.
Yep.
It's not a way of actually wielding power. That's not what the point of that is. But, I mean, wow, what an extraordinary, like, amplitude of this message this man's given. And, honestly, what great courage
mm-hmm.
to, like,
yeah.
spend your life in a Marxist country, decrying central planning,
yeah.
and
yeah.
then
that's you, risky.
Yeah, and then you serve one term as a deputy and go immediately to the presidency in a Libertarian Party that has only existed for 5 years, and it's working. So, I mean,
it's working better than anything they've tried here in 50 years with the Libertarian Party.
Right. Right.
I mean, here, if Libertarians get 3%, we get all ebullient. We're very excited about 3%.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got 30%.
Right. Maybe there could be some lessons learned by Libertarian parties the world over how these guys are doing it.
Yep. Well, and for one thing, they have a different voting system. If you just have a simple one-person, one-vote, first-past-the-post system, you will always have two choices.
Mm-hmm.
That's mathematically yeah. what will occur.
I'm not discounting that, but what I am saying is that there has been some campaign things that he has done, likely. I can't point to anything specifically because I haven't paid this much attention to it, but likely there have been some campaign things that he and the party have done that folks could take a lesson from.
Mm, yeah, indeed. And I also want to put out there that if he does manage to become president, there will, and somehow doesn't manage to get assassinated, there will likely be an extraordinary move against him from the heads of state of the rest of the world, and certainly, certainly by the IMF. They will pull all the same nonsensical trickery that they did with the first embracement of Bitcoin, saying, oh, this is too risky, and they can't possibly pay all of their debts, and then, of course, being entirely silent when they pay all of their debts. But I absolutely, if Argentina and a bit us are lucky enough to get this man as president, that is likely the kind of moves that they will move immediately against him to say, see, his ideas don't work. Look how bad it was for Argentina after he got elected.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. There's a clip here from Bloomberg Television, which, again, he's always speaking in Spanish, so there's subtitles, where he says, I think there's a previous discussion about dollarization. Actually, strictly speaking, it's to get rid of the central bank. The dollarization is an instrumental issue. At the end of the day, there are four argumentative axes. One has to do with a moral issue, which is that stealing is wrong, and seniorage is nothing more or less than a swindle by politicians against good people. Therefore, let's say if we consider that stealing is wrong, one of the greatest thieves in the history of mankind is the central bank.
Mm-hmm.
The second point has to do with the technical issue, because in the Argentine case, it is more evidence when a product going a little too fast here for me. It is more evidence when a product has no demand, its price is zero. So if the local currency has no demand and its price should be zero, the equilibrium real balances are zero, whatever amount of money a central bank wishes to impose. The counterpart is that the price level is infinite. Demand and its price should be zero. Equilibrium, real balances are zero, whatever amount of money a central bank wants to impose. The flip side is the price level has infinity. Now, I have no idea what all that meant.
Well, he's just saying that there should be a market for currency.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no demand for your currency, the value of that currency is nothing.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I guess the difference would be, and maybe he talks about it in the longer interview. That's just a clip from, I think, 20-30 minute interview with him. Maybe he gets into the fact that the legal tender is what keeps the price above zero, because legal tender usually means that the government will force you to accept their garbage currency in regards to anything that you buy. Something.
And will only accept their garbage currency for your taxes. So if you have profited in one way or another, if you want to pay your taxes, you better have acquired some of their worthless garbage currency.
There's more coming up here. If you want to weigh in on Javier Milei, the Argentinian presidential candidate who is leading right now, potentially the next winner of the presidency down there, and he's a libertarian. He wants to abolish the central bank. Our two's coming.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.